because I'm jumping in the deep end as your pastor today. I did a lot of work this week on a subject that's very deep, and it's going to be so hard to get through in one service, but I'm going to do it today, and it's like jumping in the deep end with this one. So I hope you're all excited. I'm excited about giving the service today and seeing if you all relate to what we're going to talk about, and I pray that it changes your life. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I pray that this day makes you stronger in the Lord than you ever thought possible, and gives you hope in the Lord, and gives you understanding of who our God is. He's a great God, and He loves us all so much. Let's stand up and pray together. If only we would receive the blessings that He has for us. If only we would reach up and grab each blessing that will change our life. Each word in that Bible for us, given to us, to help us in this life, to help us with our children, our grandchildren, our friends, our neighbors, to be better people, compassionate and caring people from that Word of God who changes us from the inside out so that we become God-like. We become Jesus-like. When we say, what would Jesus do? We know the answer. It's compassion. So I pray today that you receive this story today, the most amazing story in that book, and that you receive it with joy and you receive it with peace. Even what it sounds like in the beginning, that you still receive it and understand that those people are just like we are. And those people in this story are going through just the same things we are today. But it's God that molds us and God that keeps us together, and it's God who will lift us over in victory. So I pray you receive that. Pray, God, thank you for those, every soul in this church today, Lord. Give praise and honor to them. Thank them. I'm humble, Lord. Would you touch them today? Give them that joy, unspeakable joy, as we come together in Jesus' name. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
How many believers we have in the church today? Come on, let me hear those.
And someone
in times of trouble is when you believe even more because you're reaching up, because your only salvation, your only peace comes from who? You got to believe and be a believer because he's a rewarder of those who seek him, a rewarder of those who put his trust in him. Today, unbelievable. We're going to jump in the deep end of the pool this morning for sure. He's got the whole world in his hand. Y'all know the words of this? You can sing along, okay? Don't be shy. Sharing each other's love. These are all blessings we have. We're all talking about going to eat after church. What a blessing that is. Some churches don't even have that. Understand, some churches don't gather after church. We see a church that has 1 hour services, 3 different churches in one building. How much time together can they be spending together? How much time with their pastor can they be spending? With the deacons? This is where church, this is where God gives us peace, where he gives us joy, where he gives us hope. This is a great place to be, and we're building something for the Lord. Each and every one of you, we're building something. We're praying for each other. Mark Bush is back in the house with us today. I count the minutes. minutes until Gladys comes back through the door. We spoke to her again this week. We got to get her up that walkway and get her. When she comes back again, that'll be the key to getting back. You got to get through the door the first time again. Amen. And I'm thankful that Art is coming and he's bringing it back home. But she needs to feel the love right here, and she will. I believe for that. God is a miracle working God. Amen. So let's give him praise, and we're going to start the service now. Go ahead.
Just right. She's saying it's an American folk hymn, but it's not just. It's a wonderful message. It's a beautiful arrangement, played by an amazing pianist. Praise God, right? Hallelujah. So if God heals you, why do you need doctors? We all know why we need doctors. Some people are called to heal. Some people have to understand medicine. This young lady went to the right doctor, and he did the right procedure. Look at her today. 3 weeks ago, she couldn't stand nor sit, but she was faithful. She never missed church. She came to church when all things were failing around her, and here she sits. She's feeling better. Praise God that she found the right doctor. Amen. We love you. That's all. Let's stand up and pray together. No, we do. We love you. Hallelujah. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. Be seated. Enjoy yourself today. Welcome to God's house. Welcome to the house you're building for God. I don't know if you ever thought 5 years ago that you'd be building a house for God and God building a temple for inside of you to help you. But you are doing just that. You're seeing God's hand right in front of us. Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. All my fears. They looked at him. They looked to him who and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed.
He poured me and cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all his trouble.
The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and deliver them.
Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him.
Praise God. Psalm 34. David wrote that for us. He wrote that because he knew and he believed, and he said, I needed to share that. Just like you share things with your children and your grandchildren and your friends, because you need to share that with them because you love them. Amen. Sister Lisa has two very beautiful and very valuable young ladies with her today, and we're honored to have you here with us today, girls. We hope you enjoy yourself. Be relaxed. Nobody's going to yell at you. Nobody's going to bunk you on the head. Nobody's going to take your money. Nobody's going to scare you. But we want you to receive, and amen, we need more children, amen. We need that children's ministry to catch on fire. I believe for it. I believe that we have people who are waiting to come if we have a children's ministry. I believe that people are going to come to Bible studies, amen, starting on the 20th of March. Hallelujah. Who's that? Fran drove you here today? Did he make it from home to here without having to stop? There you go. Hallelujah. You know, God has a message for you every day. It's right in this book. If you'll open up the book, you'll find the message for you. Sometimes you'll start reading something, Sergio Deacon, Sergio, and it doesn't pertain to you. Just move the pages. Find something. Find something from Matthew. Find something from Luke or Mark. Find something from Peter. Amen? But there's something in this book for you every single day. And this is, I say this all the time, but it's so important to know. I have people who can't sleep at night. I know Art knows. Gladys has a problem sleeping at night. And I tell you, God has given us the ability to do something very special, to read. Now, you say, you might not want to read the Bible every night, and I get that. Maybe you're not wanting to read the Bible, you want to read, but there are things in your heart that you love. So you understand what I'm saying, James? There's things that you love to learn about, whether it be the outdoors, or whether it be history, or archaeology, and places in Egypt, how they built the pyramids. I'm telling you, if you just take those books and bring them into the bedroom and open up a book and start reading something that you care about, the next thing you're going to realize is you fell asleep. Because the problem with sleeping at night is you're trusting yourself. You're laying there thinking about what you think about. And not sleeping is real. I've had nights where I couldn't sleep, but I get up and start reading. We'll start reading a story that takes me away from where I'm at and brings me to peace. Now, this book is a great thing to read when you can't sleep. It really is. Especially when you find scriptures or stories that you like. But that's God. See, even if you don't read the Bible, right, Lord? If you just do a blessing that he's given us, to be able to read, all of a sudden you learn something interesting to you, might not be to me, but it will be to you, and then you get that sleep that you wake up feeling refreshed, because God wants you to be refreshed, amen, hallelujah. So I just wanted to share that, God is so good.
Amen.
Oh, no, we're all the time, see, Elder Pat's not here today, see, God is good,
all the time,
all the time.
Praise the Lord.
I'm going to jump in. We're jumping in the deep end. Right in the middle of the Bible is an amazing story. Absolutely amazing story of love, compassion, pain, suffering, a story that we all go through. How many of us? All of us can relate to this story one way or another. We could be the one suffering. We could be the one trying to help the one suffering. We could be the one listening to the one trying to help the one suffering. We can see God bless people. We are part of God seeing God bless people. How many know that God wants to bless you? I mean, not in the ways that you think, but He wants to bless you. He wants to raise you up. This story is right in the middle of the Bible. It says that it was written by Moses because they don't know for sure who wrote it, but they give it to Moses because they think either Moses was able to walk with this man and get it from him, or maybe he got it from Abraham and maybe it was passed down. But this is a story of a man who loved God, who faced trials and tribulations. And I tell you, it's not an easy book in the Bible to read one night. It's because it's so deep and because there's so many words that you have to just... You read something so good, you have to take in part of it and put it away and go back again. But that's when a story is really good, that you can't read it all in one sitting. So I don't know how we're going to get through this in one, but I just pray. Would you all pray with me today? Pray for me that we can get something that makes you, it makes it interesting, because I think it's fascinating. Thank you, Lord. Man of faith. Say that with me. Man of faith. Job. Right in the middle of the Bible. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And the man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yokes of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all people of the East. And his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and would send to invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job himself would send and sanctify them. Sanctify would simply mean he would take them, dedicate them to God, declare them holy, set apart from the world. He's going to do that for them. He would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did it regularly. He prayed for his children every day. He went out and made sacrifice for his children every day. And when they had their parties, he brought them out and he sanctified them. He separated them, saying, "I need to pray over you, because just in case you might have said something or done something at that party that was against God." Amen? Now there was a, I did it, I'm sorry James, that's one, that's true. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. These are angels coming to visit God. And Satan came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, now listen to this, this is kind of interesting. The Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" He knew. Understand that he knew. But he asked Satan, and this is Satan answers, "Oh, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it." You see, that tells you something very important. The devil can't be at every place every time, amen? He can only be at one place at a time. How many? One place at a time. He say, he's even said, "Well, I was going here and going there and walking around back and forth." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all his possessions, all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land." And he says, "But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." Now understand this, this is very important. God knows the end. You understand? Whenever happens, whatever situation, he knows the end. Satan did not know the end. God knew the end of the story. God understands. And so Satan is testing God and trying to tempt him. But understand that God knows the story. And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is yours and your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now, there was a day, the next day, that raiders came and took all the donkeys, took all the sheep. And that same day, on that same day, a fire came and took all the rest of his livestock. And on that same day, a great wind came and blew down the house where all his children were, and they perished on the same day, the same afternoon. Can you imagine what he was going through? Can you imagine that pain of realizing, as one servant would come to him and tell him that all the animals are gone, all the livestock's gone, everything you have, all your land is gone, and then the last one coming and saying, your family is gone, taken from you in one day. Hallelujah. Then Job arose. He tore his robe and shaved his head. These are humbling things. These are things that humble yourself and just show signs of grief, great signs of grief. And he fell to the ground and worshiped. What did he do? Listen to what he said. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Understand, God did nothing. Amen. Who was doing this? But he thought it was God. Hallelujah. Now the second day, there was a day when the sons of God came present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came again and asked the Lord the same question, where do you come? And Satan said, from going to and fro on the earth and walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? And he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. So Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yeah, all the man has he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took for himself a potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. He sat there in the midst of the ashes, scraping the sores. Then his wife said to him, this is very powerful. His wife, whose wife? Job's wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. That's his wife telling him that. Just give it up. Give up, God. Look at what's happened to you. Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Nobody say a word. Don't say nothing. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Hallelujah. And then we go to chapter 3. Now, anybody understand the Bible is in chapter and verse? Do you ever know where that came from? Because the Bible wasn't... When anybody ever write a letter, you ever write a letter, Judy, in Mark 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, and each line? You did. Don't scare me. I picked the wrong one. I don't know if you would do that. Your teachers must have loved you. This goes back about 700 years to people reading the Bible and deciding that in order to understand the Bible and know where Scripture was, we'd give verse and chapter numbers. And it started around in the year 1227. And they kept trying to refix it and trying to revise it. Then they had to revise the Old Testament. So it's about 700 years ago where they finally had a Bible with chapter and verse. And the only reason, say that with me, the only reason they did that, Lisa, is so you could read the Bible and find where you were and mark your Bible, writing in your Bible and crossing things out and putting notes there, and you knew where the notes were. Yeah, good girl. It wasn't easy the first time, was it? Tall of David. But that's simply why we have verse and chapter in the Bible, so that we can tell you where we're reading. You got your favorite, my favorite scripture, John 3:16. Well, it wasn't when John wrote it. It was just a letter that John wrote, but somebody numbered it, so we can know right where to go. So that's why they have this. Now, I'm in the third chapter, and this is where this story really takes another twist. Job's got three friends. How many?
Three.
And they're going to come, and they're going to talk to Job. Hallelujah. Now when Job's three friends heard of all the adversity that had come upon him, each one came from his own place, his own place. Now this is us. Try to put yourself in Job's situation and his friends. Try to see yourself, because you're in this story. You are truly in this story. They came from their own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. For they had made an appointment together to come and mourn with him and to comfort him. I wish more people were here today to hear this story. And when they raised their eyes from afar and did not recognize him. Imagine that. He was in such agony. They didn't even recognize their friend. They lifted their voices and they wept. And each one tore his robe and sprinkled dust on his head towards heaven. So they sat down with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was great. We've all gone through things in life, the sadness, unbelievable sadness. Some of us, each one in your life is the most important. Understand that, amen? Whatever you've lost, my losses, your losses, their grief. And when you got a friend there, wants to be there with you. And these friends started off on the right track. What did they do? Nothing. They sat with him. Maybe they held on to him. This might sound funny, but when I wrote this down and I thought about it, maybe they kissed his forehead. Anybody ever have somebody kiss your forehead? Your mama when you were hurting, or your dad, or somebody, even your dad, even more powerful, lean over and just kiss you on the forehead because they love you. It's a sign of compassion. It's absolute sign of love. They just held him. They were torn as he was in his agony. He couldn't speak, and they chose not to speak. They were with him for all those days, 7 days. Amen. And they said not a word. And then it started. They couldn't hold it back anymore. Well, Job stands up and says, he opened his mouth. And listen, was he mad at God? No. Was he angry at God? No. Listen to what he opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. He said he'd wished it. And Job said, may the day perish on which I was born, and the night in which it was said a male child is conceived. He did not curse God. He wished that he had not been born. His pain was real. Amen. You may have felt like that someday, that your loss was so great. You say, why am I alive? I wish I was not alive. I wish I wasn't born. He didn't look at God and say, why did you do this to me? He just said, if you could take this away from me, may God above not seek it, not a light shine upon it. May darkness and the shadow of death claim it. May a cloud settle on it. May the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, may darkness seize it. And you can read that it goes on and on. He's in torment. Amen. He's in pain. He is sad. And sad's not the right word. And then his friends who love him want to help. And here's again where the story takes another twist, which makes very interesting reading. And the first one is Eliphaz, the Temanite. He said, if one attempts a word with you, will you become weary? But who can withhold himself from speaking? He can't stop now. Surely you have instructed many, and you have strengthened weak hands. Your words have upheld him who was stumbling, and you have strengthened the feeble knees. He's telling Job, I've seen you help other people. I've seen you help and lift up other people, and I've seen you counsel other people. Now you got to take it from me, but it comes upon you and you're weary. Listen to what he's saying. He's almost angry at Job for being mad or upset. He said, you have strengthened feeble knees, but now it comes upon you and you're weary? What kind of friend is that? It touches you and you're troubled? Is not your reverence, your confidence, and the integrity of your ways your hope? He blames Job. And it goes a little further, and this is great. This is where this story is so interesting to read. In chapter 4, verse 12, it said, he tells Job, he's talking to him now. Praise God, don't ever have a friend. He said, now a word was secretly brought to me, and my ear received the whisper of it, and disquieted thoughts from the vision of the night. When deep sleep fell upon men, fear came upon me and trembling, which made all my bones shake. He's telling Job now that he heard from who? God. He's saying, God spoke to me, and this is what he said about you. Did he? No. I mean, but he's trying to really impress Job about all it. And he said, God spoke to me. It's right there. He didn't. You're going to find out later that God didn't have any part of what he was saying. And here's the great thing about reading this book. A lot of things of what they say to Job are absolutely correct. Absolutely correct about God being merciful and God being loving. And when we do fall short, he does have, sometimes we have to face the chastisement. Amen? But they're blaming Job for what happened. He's criticizing him for being upset. Thank you, Lord. Three friends. Thank you, Lord. And Eliphaz just keeps going. And in Job expresses his complaint. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for enjoying this. He said a word was secretly brought to me. He's telling Job that God spoke to him. Hallelujah. Now we go to chapter 8 and his friend Bildad. Bildad the Shuhite is going to take his shot at Job. Amen. Going to take a shot at him now. And he's got, okay, Job was answering him and Job is expressing his frustration. Said, I don't know what I did. I don't know how I did this. God, help me. The eyes of him who sees me will see me no more. He's thinking God has taken his eyes off of him. He's in terror. He's in torment because, Lisa, he thinks God has forsaken him. Amen? It's not the pain of losing. That was bad enough. But in everything that he's faced, Sergio, he thought that God had left him. He thought he was alone, that God did not love him anymore. Oh, the thought just gives me goosebumps. It just makes my heart tremble to think that that's what he was thinking. Hallelujah. But Bildad the Shuhite says, how long will you speak these things? And the words of your mouth like a strong wind? Does God subvert judgment? Or does the Almighty pervert justice? Listen to what he says. If your sons have sinned against him, he has cast them away for their transgression. If you would earnestly seek God and make your supplication to the Almighty, if you were pure and upright, surely now he would awake for you. His friends are telling me it was your children's fault. They must have done something wrong. They must have sinned. That's why they're gone. What kind of friend tells somebody that? It was a sin, not only the sin that Job did, but your children now. He's blaming the children, assuming Job did something wrong. Where's the compassion? Can I get in? Where is it? Where's the, he must have sinned. These are not words of comfort. And he keep going. And Job in chapter 10, Job is going to plead with God. He wants to plead with God. And understand this again. Job is not mad at God. Job is torn because he thinks God has forsaken him. And Job wants to plead with who? God. And listen to what he says now. My soul loathes my life. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say to God, do not condemn me. Show me why you contend with me. Does it seem good to you that you should oppress, that you should despise the work of your hands and smile on the counsel of the wicked? Do you have eyes of flesh, or do you see as man sees? Are your days like the days of a mortal man? Are your years like the days of a mighty man, that you should seek for my iniquity and search out my sin? Although you know that I am not wicked, and there is no one who can deliver from your hand. Hallelujah. He's pleading with him. It's like self-pity. Understand that people have that self, oh, woe is me. What did I do? I didn't. And he's asking God, where are you? Don't condemn me, Lord. Help me. And God was his only hope. And understand this. Understand this in all your life. Job was torn apart. Yet he had one hope. Where was his hope? God. Amen. Where was his place for help? God. Where was his security? God. He was looking to God. Anything, God. Anything. He turns to God, still alone. He believes God is the answer. Amen. That is where you're all going to have to understand when we get towards the end. Realize your place with God. Realize your testimony with God. For how many have been through something in your life? How many have had a loss in your life? How many want? Then you become a giant testimony to God, just like Job does. But right now, he's just begging God. Begging God to help him. This is pretty cool. And it goes chapter 11. This is cool. Hallelujah. Zophar the third guy. Zophar the Naamathite answered and said, should not the multitude of words be answered? And should a man full of talk be vindicated? Listen to what he says. Should your empty talk make men hold their peace? And when you mock, should no one rebuke you, Job? For you have said, my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in your eyes. But oh, that God would speak and open his lips against you. Listen to what he says, his friend. That he would show you the secrets of wisdom, for they would double your prudence. Know therefore that God exacts from you less than your iniquity deserves. His friend is telling him, you deserve even more pain than you already have. That's what he's saying to him. He said, you're so proud and you're just calling on God like you're special, that God will hear you because you're a sinner and that you're talking like that. And he said, if God came back now, he would double your pain. And he should double your pain. This is, friend, this is the book of Job. This is what he's learned. Would anybody be angry at that? Would anybody, blame you for being angry at that? Now understand, they have no idea what happened to Job. Even Job doesn't know. They had how many ideas? No ideas what happened to him. None. They don't know that Satan and God had something and Satan did this. They just think they know. They assume they know. And they're given their, you're going to love this, Greg, given their opinion. Woo! Right? You want to feel just a little, before it gets you going again, here you want to feel a little like, okay, Job, say something. And Job answers in chapter 12. This is great. He answers his friends. No doubt, no doubt, you are the people. And wisdom will die with you. But I have understanding as well as you. I am not inferior to you. Indeed, who does not know such things as these? He's telling his friends, I know what you're saying. I know you're talking about repentance. And I know my God, just like you say you know God. And he said, I am one mocked by my friends who called on God and he answered him. The just and blameless who is ridiculed. A lamp is despised in the thought of one who is at ease. It is made ready for those whose feet slip. The tents of robbers prosper, and those who provoke God are secure, and what God provides by his hand. He's saying, I am being mocked by my friends. Imagine that. I am one mocked by my friends. And in chapter 13, he says, behold, my eyes have seen all this. He wants to argue with God. My ears have heard and understood it. What you know, I also know. I am not inferior to you. But then he says, but I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. But you forgers are of lies, you all worthless physicians, all that you would be silent, it would be your wisdom. Listen to one more time what he says to his friends. He said, I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. But then he calls his friend, but you forgers of lies, you are all worthless physicians. Oh, that you would be silent, and it would be your wisdom. He's telling them, if you just shut up, you'd be a lot smarter. That's what he's telling them now. You have done nothing for me except cause me more pain, my friends. And chapter 14, it continues. And he, in chapter 16, he calls his friends. This is great. I have heard these such many things, miserable comforters, all of you. That's what he calls them in chapter. I have heard many such things, miserable comforters, are you all. Imagine that. And 17, he prays for relief, and it just keeps going. 19, he answers, how long? And in 19, he's asking God again. Right in the middle of your Bible, this is an amazing story. And it's hard to read in one day. And he's asking God, he's saying, how long will you torment my soul and break me into pieces with words? These 10 times you have reproached me. You are not ashamed that you have wronged me. And if indeed I have erred, my error remains with me. If indeed you exalt yourselves against me and plead my disgrace against me, know then that God has wronged me and has surrounded me with his net. He's calling out. He's trusting God. That's what he wants. And Zophar starts on, again, calling him a wicked man. And Job discourse on the world. And then chapter 22 begins the third round. His friends come at him 3 times. How many times? 3 times. Bildad, how can a man be righteous? Job complains of violence on the earth. Amen. We all see violence on the earth. In chapter 27, Job maintains his integrity. As God lives, who has taken away my justice, and the Almighty who has made my soul bitter, as long as my breath is in me and the breath of God in my nostrils, my lips will not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. Far be it from me that I should say you are right. Till I die, I will not put away my integrity from me. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let go. My heart shall not reproach me as long as I live. I will say nothing against my God. You won't make me say nothing against my God. I love God. And God is his only refuge. Understand that with me one more time. God is his only what? The only place he knows where he can go to God. This God that he feels like has forsaken him. All that he had is lost. Everything that he ever had in his life is gone. Yet he still thinks that the only way to find peace is for God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Gets really interesting. In chapter 32, there's a young man. His name is Eliu. E-L-I-H-U. Eliu. He's a young man. He says, these three men, he's talking about the three men talking to Job, ceased answering Job because the three guys just gave up. They stopped because his righteousness in his own eyes. Then the wrath of Eliu, the son of Barachel of Buzite, the Buzite of the family of Ram, was aroused against Job. This young man, how old was he? He was a young man. Say that with me. Young man who believed that he had wisdom. Amen. Yeah, I know, they all do. He believed that he had this wisdom. He's going to say now. He's now that the three men have stopped talking, now because they were years older than he said, I had waited to speak to Job. When Eliu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, his wrath was aroused. He's saying, I am young in years and you are very old. Therefore, I was afraid and dared not declare my opinion to you. Dare not declare what? My what? Opinion to you. Does he know what happened?
No.
Does he have any idea what happened? But he's not going to hesitate to declare his what? I said age should speak and multitudes of years should teach wisdom. He's saying, I'm a young guy. And I kind of stood back while the three old guys were talking. And he was realizing that nothing was changing. And that they didn't have any words of anything. And the breath of the Almighty gives them understanding. Great men are not always wise. Nor do the aged always understand justice. Therefore, I say, listen to me, and I will declare my opinion. He says it again. Indeed, I awaited for your words. I listened to your reasonings while you searched out what to say. I paid close attention. And surely not one of you convinced Job or answered his words, lest you say, we have found wisdom. Eliu knows all about wisdom. Amen. He knows all about wisdom. He understands wisdom. The only problem is he didn't have enough wisdom to understand what he did not know. See that? He has wisdom. It's like somebody coming out of college right away. They come right out of college and they're going to get this job and they're going to walk in thinking they can do the entire job. Why? Well, because I just graduated from college and my instructor gave me everything I need to know, right? So I'm going to come to this job and I'm going to take over because I know everything. Not. They walk into the job, and what's that? Oh, I didn't get that in school. Oh, I got to deal with this. Why do I got to deal with this for? Well, I mean, I didn't know that I had to understand. He had wisdom. He understood, but he didn't have enough wisdom to understand that wisdom needs to be understood inside. It wasn't here. It was here, and he was speaking from here. He was speaking from his opinion. So he's not going to do any better than the three guys. Although he's mad at the three guys because he thinks that they didn't know any wisdom. That's called pride, amen? That's called, I know something you don't know and I'm smarter than you because I'm younger than you are. And he goes on and on, 35, 34, 35, 36, proclaims about God and he goes on. And he just goes on until chapter 38. Chapter where? This is where the book again turns, Sergio. This is where the book becomes you and me again. This is where the book brings God into all our hearts. How many hearts?
All.
Hallelujah. Be with me. Hang in there with me. I know we jumped into deep end today, but it was exciting. I hope you. Chapter 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Oh Lord." You don't want God talking to you sometimes, amen? You're praying to God and you're leaning on God, but you really don't want to hear from God when you think something's wrong. Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Without what? Now prepare yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you shall answer me. Man, I would be forget. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched a line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of glory and God shouted for joy? Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place? Have you entered the springs of the sea or have walked in search of the depths? Where is the way of dwelling of life? Of light? Have you entered the treasury of snow, or have you seen the treasury of hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war? Can you lift a voice to the clouds that the abundance of water may cover you? Can you send out lightnings that they may go and you say, here we are? You don't want God talking to you. Amen like that. Amen. Understand where Job is now. What he's feeling now. God is answering him and asking these questions. And when you take your Bible and you start to read Job and you get to chapter 38, you don't want to stop reading because it just goes on. The things that God just tells him, I mean, he's dropping him to his knees is one thing, but just, you know, who shut the seas with doors with burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band. When I fixed my limits for the sea and set bars and doors. When I said, this far you may come but no further. And here your proud waves must stop. Who are you? Who are you, he's saying. Who are you? Do you know the time when do you know the time when the wild mountain goats bear young? Or can you mark where the deer gives birth? Don't say nothing, Dave. Can you number the months that they fulfill? Or do you know the time when they bear the young? They bow down. Hallelujah. Who set the wild donkey free? The wings of the ostrich wave proudly, but are her wings and pinions like that of kindly storks? Hallelujah. And chapter 40, it says, shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? That is one powerful sentence. Let me read that again. Shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Any of us here today, when you contend with God, shall we correct him? He who rebukes God, let him answer. Nobody in this church is going to answer, Lord. Then Job answered God, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will proceed no further. Then the Lord isn't done with him. He said, now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Would you indeed annul my judgment? Would you condemn me that you may be justified? Have you an arm like God? Or can you thunder with a voice like his? And he goes on some more, talks about the animals, talks about the mountains, talks about the trees, talks about the things that he's done and the things he's created. And he continues to go with that until verse chapter 42. Chapter 42, the end of the book. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything. He's probably on his knees weeping. I know I would be. And that no purpose of yours, Lord, can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. All he wanted was God to shine his light. All he wanted was God to be in his life for the feeling of that love, the feeling of only God can give you. At times of the biggest grief, the only love that will be enough for you is God's love. When you walk through that and God has walked with you, you become a testimony to him greater than any man you can ever think of riches, because you're rich in testimony. Your power is in your testimony because God got you through the darkness of life. Can I get an amen? God has got you through pains that you thought 20 years ago you could never face. I remember saying, I don't know what I would do without my mother. I don't know what I would do without my father. But I thank God that he got me through that. My testimony is that you shall survive. You shall walk through. You shall be raised up. There is still tomorrow to hold on to. Tomorrow to live. Tomorrow to enjoy. Tomorrow to do great things for your friends and God. But the deeper your testimony, the more power your testimony becomes. And it was so, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said that you're going to like this. See, this is part of your... The Lord said to Eliphaz, the Temanite, my wrath is aroused against you and your two friends. For you have not spoken to me what is right, and my servant Job has. Now therefore, take for yourself 7 bulls and 7 rams. Go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken to me what is right as my servant Job has. So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did as the Lord commanded them, for the Lord has accepted Job. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. When did he get his losses restored? When he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. How much? Twice as much. Then all his brothers and all his sisters and all that those who had been in his acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in the house. And they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each a ring of gold. Then the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. He blessed the latter days of Job more than the beginning. Second Congregational, you and me, brother and sister, all of us together. The testimony of Job should bring souls to God. Your testimonies should bring souls to God. The pain you feel today, and you say that the only way I could get through it is with God, the people need to see that. Because other people are going through the pains you're going through. We all go through that. Other people are going through your hardships with finances, hardships with relationships. We're all going, people are going through that. But you become testimony because you've lived through it. And you understood that there was one thing that got you through. It was God that found you that job, or found you that mate, or found you that peace, that the world, your friends couldn't give it to you. It was God. Job served God and he looked to God because he knew that nothing but God could give him that peace. Your testimony should bring souls to God. The strength you did not know you had inside because of your faith in God carried you on. To be a light to others, a path, a hope through the pains of life, to be a greater promise. We are that light. We must be that light to God, to Jesus, and to all of us around us. That's the book of Job. That's why Job is you. Greg, it's you. It's you, Deacon Chuck. It's you, Marilyn. You are Job. Your light, the powers, the things that you've gone through, your testimonies from good doctor report, your testimony from all the things in life, and the deepest pains that you had in your life, and you still have in your life, and you're still walking, and you're still believing, and you're still smiling. That's God carrying you through. That's the testimony of Job that we all carry. Give him praise, because he is the answer. Hallelujah.